All right. T minus negative one and counting, but we're going to go to Ecclesiastes for just a few minutes, all right? So, join me real quick in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll come to the end of the chapter here. And actually, this is fine. I don't anticipate this section being long. As you recall, chapter 10 was the turning of the tide, where we really started heading right towards the goal of presenting God to the unbeliever and saying, trust him, follow him, in the words of the last chapter, fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. If life is going to have meaning, if there's going to be purpose and value to your life, God must be a part of the equation. If ever he's out, it's vanity. And so, remember the Proverbs here in chapter 11 are dealing with what we call the invitation. This is Solomon really trying to draw whoever it is he's sharing the truth with to a point of decision. And so on the front side of the notes, I'll just remind ourselves again, it is wise to prepare for the unknown. He's trying to drive home the reality that you don't know when death comes. You don't know when you'll meet God. You better prepare now. So if you haven't figured it all out before you make a move, you'll never make a move. One of the things he was dealing with in the earlier chapters was trying to figure out life. Well, you can't figure it out because God's designed it. But you have enough truth to know how to do right. Come to God now. So we saw in verse 1 and 2, you can't know the end of your business risks. Verse 3 and 4, you can't know the weather. You can't know the forming of life. Verse 5, verse 6, work with what's been given to you. Right? And look for the good to come. Look for the God's promises. Okay, so that's the first part of the chapter. Now, the last half of the chapter, and we're on the back side of the notes. So in spite of all your frustrations, and you might want to put a note in the notes here. I'm referring specifically to the end of verse 8, so I call it 8b. In spite of all your frustrations, life on earth is good. There's your blank. Life on earth is good, but it is not giddy, all right? It's not frivolous. So striking an amazing balance here in verses 7 through 10 at the end of the chapter. So let's begin reading verse 7 of chapter 11, all right? There we go. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun, all right? Who doesn't love the daytime? But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness. And he's going to, by the way, further describe that in chapter 12. For they shall be many, this long march toward death. And notice the conclusion, all that cometh is vanity. Human death is the culmination of the frustrations of this life. Why do we die? We know as believers, why do we die? Sin. Sin is the ultimate cause for all of the frustrations in this world and life. It is. Had we not sinned, where would we be today? In the Garden of Eden, still rejoicing in the very presence of God. But that's not our world, all right? Sin is the great corrupter. So we have this long march. So if I can put it this way, there are dark days. There's your blank. There are dark days. Just as the sun sets, verse 7, so does life. This, to me, when I understood what Solomon was saying, it's like, whoa, this is really powerful. Every day, every 24-hour cycle is a reminder to the sinner, the dark days are coming. As much as you try to put it off, as much as you try to work out and try to deny that your body is dying, the sun's going to set. The dark days are coming, and you'd better prepare. It's like, whoa, Solomon, I understand now. And every sunset is a reminder that death is coming. The dark days are coming. You better be prepared for them. Because without God, end of verse 8, every frustration, this world is full of emptiness. God is the only answer to the joy and delight of the sunshine and the coming darkness of the sunset. And in your life, you better be prepared, because you don't know exactly when that sunset's coming. The dark days are coming. You better be prepared. Now, verse 9, he goes on, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." All right, the idea is this. We have much freedom. Don't forget, we've got a few younger ones here, but do you remember when you kind of became an adult? You know, whether it was graduation from college or whatever, you know, you're on your own, you got your own place, you got your own car, you're paying for your own insurance, you got your own job. Life is grand! I'm free! I can do what I want! I make my own choices! I'm exaggerating to a point here. I hope some of you had some temper about you, all right, and you realized Mom and Dad taught me a lot of things, I need to be careful. Anyways, but that's the idea. I'm free! Life is grand, and God doesn't necessarily despise that. There is joy in youth, is there not? We all long, in fact, all of us old fogies, do you still kind of think of yourself as like you're in your 20s? Oh, okay, maybe not. But that's you're mentally, it's like that vigor for life and joy. All right, great, but notice the end of the verse. I'm in the middle of verse 9 in the sight of the eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So the next point on our notes, there is judgment coming. We have freedom, but don't forget in your freedom that God will judge you for everything you do in your free choice. By the way, just a little theological aside here. Solomon seemed to have this wonderful balance between man's free will and God's sovereignty. All right, I like that. All right, that's well. Often we only think of that from the New Testament side, and here it is in living color in the Old Testament. He's been talking about God's sovereignty over the. You can't control it anyway, and now he said, "Yeah, you have free choice, but you better be ready for the sovereign God because you're going to stand in judgment to Him." All right, what an invitation! What a powerful invitation! So now we come to what I could call the great invitation, verse 10. Therefore, in light of these truths, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. All right, here we go through these notes. Here's the invitation. Remove sorrow, remove vexation. That word sorrow there is the same word that we get vanity from throughout the entire book of Ecclesiastes. The whole vexation of life. So stop and say, what can I do to not make this life meaningless? I've tried it all. And it's all vanity of vanity. There's nothing good under the sun without God. So the invitation is, all right, put it away. Put away your vanity now. Put away the vexations of life and turn to the one who gives you the answers, God. All right, the second phrase, put away evil from thy flesh. Pass over is the idea of putting away. Pass over evil. So remove vexation, pass over evil. Stop being immoral. Know that there's a holy, righteous God that has a demand for your life, and you'd better get in a right relationship with Him. So finally, and this it's tied in with that illustration of verse 9, make a mature, there's your blank, make a mature or wise decision. Childhood and youth are vanity. Solomon is saying, okay, the games are done, folks. No more childish games with your life. It's time to make a decision. What are you going to do with God? With God's plan, with God's purposes in your life. Are you going to come to Him or are you going to fear Him? All right? So, the invitation, you think I don't think I have really long invitations, but this is an extended, chapter 12 is the extended invitation. And he's not done yet, but that's really, verse 10 here is the synopsis of it all. Put away vexation. Pass over evil. Stop it. Let's make a wise decision in your life. Don't be a child anymore. Think about the reality that God is going to judge you. Think about the reality that your sunset is coming, and you better be prepared. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for Solomon and his wisdom and through illustration and through story, he's drawing us to come to you. Lord, I pray that you take your word and help us to use it as we reach others for Christ. Father, if there's someone within the hearing of my voice that's not saved, may they take this invitation to heart and come to Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for the wonderful evening. We'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Don't forget, you want to come Saturday morning, and I'll keep you posted as far as the weather goes. Good night. You're dismissed.